Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, my name is VexX, and this is episode number 32 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Today, for the first time ever, we're going to actually attempt to record a podcast directly over my cell phone while miking it, because you're supposed to purchase some high-end cord that allows people to call in and be recorded, which I didn't purchase. I think it's like $8. That's how cheap I am on the Vex on Vex podcast. No, but I'm going to call Johnny Zero momentarily. We've been doing sound checks. Today's Halloween of 2018. This will come out a week from now, I'm thinking, roughly. A week and a half, something like that. So this is episode number 32 of the Vex on Vex podcast. I'm going to pause this momentarily. I'm going to dial up Johnny Zero. When we come back, we're going to discuss, of all things, Kiss. Because you see, the band Kiss appeared last night on The Tonight Show featuring Jimmy Fallon, not Johnny Carson, which makes me sad in my heart. And they played in New York City, which is where they're from. And they announced, man, three-year retirement tour, end of the road. And Ace Frehley was not in the lineup. Not that it's a big deal. Tommy Thayer's been playing the guitar there for, my goodness, 15 years at this point. But it's interesting. So hopefully you'll enjoy the episode. It's probably going to be Kiss-related, rock and roll-related. I'm calling Johnny Zero, like I said, on the phone. And I want to stress to everyone, like, maybe you're not the biggest Kiss fan, which I respect. I'm not a tremendous Kiss fan, but there's a lot of nostalgia for Kiss for me. Because as a kid, you know, playing rock and roll and learning how to play rock and roll, Kiss was monumental. Like, I remember being like, I think 11, 12 years old, I had a Gene Simmons poster of him in the full demon makeup over my bed. Like, it was important to me. I love me some Gene Simmons. At the time, anyway. And so bear with us. We'll be right back momentarily with Johnny Zero. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Again, this is Vex on Vex podcast. My name is VexX, and here is our guest, Mr. Johnny Zero.
The people's Zero.
How are you doing, man? I'm good, sir. Now, like I was telling the people before you had got in, this is the first time that we're using a phone to ever have a podcast.
Right, right, right.
Now, you're crystal clear, which I'm happy about. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Now, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
I know I have a bad ear, but I can hear you. It sounds actually better than the last time.
So good, good. We try to manipulate it a little. So listen, last night, Kiss was on Jimmy Fallon. And they played Love Gun. And I sent you the video this morning because I wanted you to see it.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? What do you think is going to happen in Kiss Camp now?
I think that it's only a matter of time that Ace Frehley is back in the... Ace Frehley, excuse me, is back in the spaceman suit.
Now, I hear you. Can you explain that to us in detail, though? Why you think that?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Because I'm not in front of a computer.
Sure, sure.
So forgive me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But after the success of Anomaly, I mean, this is a guy who hadn't had a solo record in, like, 25 years, since 1989. And it went, I believe, 15 on the indie charts. And then he came out with Space Invader, which charted even higher. And if I'm not mistaken, that would be 2014, 2015. And, again, I don't have anything in front of me. I'm going on pure memory here.
Sure.
He signed a new album, two-album deal after that.
Now, so a recording contract, a contract.
Yes, to E1 Entertainment, yes.
Oh, okay.
And so he had Origins Volume 1 with, you know, all the guest stars and stuff, and versions of songs he probably should have been singing in the first place, like Deuce and et cetera. Cold Gin, I guess he was too shy back then, and but it's blistering. And then he comes out with this great album called Spaceman, which is incredible, by the way. Now he's already in interviews. He's let the band go, meaning the Emperor Rock and Roll, Richie Scarlett, God rest Joanne's soul. Love you, Richie, if you're out there listening to Van Chance.
Well, no, people don't know about Joanne, so you got to tell them what exactly happened.
Joanne Scarlett is Richie Scarlett's wife.
Well, she was.
They were just inseparable. It's like, you know, and I know, being a rock star or a musician or a performer, to find a woman that will stand by you in that, that doesn't want the corporate type. And
you are so going off script here. You got to tell me, my friend, who she is, because no one knows who she is, and say, oh, this is what happened.
So a lot of people do. Joanne Scarlett was Richie Scarlett's manager and friend and wife, and he's the, you know, Richie Scarlett's been, he was in the original Frehley's comic.
Bro, my God, she died. You got to tell him she died. Like, that's the point, that she just
passed.
But no,
away.
But the timing is important.
Yeah.
You got to tell people. Like, tell me what's going on.
I know. I was trying to be respectful. I didn't know. All right. She passed away. She died from Lou Gehrig's disease. just as the time as the ban was announced, the ban was let go. If I'm not mistaken, it was the same day.
Well, it wasn't exactly the same day because he was afraid to call Richie. It was like a week, yeah. I think, later. I think.
Yeah.
So close.
Well, the announcement was made, but I believe this decision was already. My theory is this decision was already made well before that. That it just happened to coincide with such a horrible, horrible thing to happen to Richie, and he's gonna bounce back. I love Richie Scarlett. And I love Ace Frehley too. But so he has already put out this great album, "Rockin' with the Boys," which was supposed to be the album title of the album that they were going to do instead of "The Elder." A lot of people don't know that, but we'll save that one. We're saving that one. All right, and then we're gonna believe me, that'll be a good one. That's a whole nother story. So Scotty Hugan, in my opinion, the best up and coming. I mean, the best singing drummer, period.
Man, dude, you're really going off the rails. I got to come in here because you're killing me. I love you, but you're just not getting to any points. So listen, this is important. For no one who's listening who knows, let me talk. For no one who knows, Ace Frehley made this record with his band. He's had the band for years. Richie Scarlett for 30 years. The wife of Richie Scarlett just passed away very tragically. Secondly,
yes.
He just did a whole bunch of shows with Gene Simmons over the past, I guess, 8 months or so.
Yes.
Promoting The Vault. And so...
Right.
He unceremoniously has dismissed his entire band after the record was recorded already and before it came out, and he announced he's hiring Gene Simmons' solo band, which is a bunch of Nashville, Tennessee professional musicians, to be his backup band, correct?
Yeah. They can't smoke Richie or Scotty, but they're
Well, they're cheaper. That's the thing. They're cheaper, literally. And he said they can all sing lead, which is something he really likes.
Yeah. A lot of the songs with the backing vocals, I guess, but I don't understand that because Richie's a great singer and so is Scotty. But anyway, my point is that my theory now, this is my speculation, is that that Ace is already being bought. They didn't want to buy out his E1 contract. He's already said in an interview just the other day that he's already working on Origins Volume 2, which will be covers, remakes, maybe a couple originals here and there. And in the Ace, you know, Ace has that talent where he can take a song that, you know, I mean, go listen to the original 2000 Man and then compare it to his 2000 Man. Entirely different song. He owns it. And that's why the record companies usually have him do one remake on every record because of the success.
You know, you're going off the rails
back,
again, right?
Back in the New York group was number one.
You're going off the rails again, like definitively.
All right. Well, listen. I think that once this contract is out, this is a 3-year world tour. I get it. You want it to be Kiss centered. I get it.
End of the road.
This all plays into it. Now, Kiss has not been able to be a hard a headliner with Tommy Thayer and Peter and Eric Singer. That's just the truth. They're usually doing double headlines.
Exactly. No, you're totally right. You're totally right. I agree. The most recent Kiss tours have definitely been co-headlining Def Leppard, things of that nature, like two bands.
Yes, Motley Crue, etc., Aerosmith. When Ace Frehley walks in that building, that roof is going to blow off the place. And what they're doing right now, in my opinion, I'm only speaking my theory. You know, I don't know the guys or anything, and I love them all. I'm just saying that I think that they're saving Ace and Peter when Ace's E1 contract is up. This is a 3-year tour, man. 3 years.
But all right, so
they boosted the set. John, 25 songs.
John, listen. Yeah. Let me speak as well, please.
Go ahead.
If you're going to the end of the road Kiss tour and you go for the first 6 months of shows and then on the second leg fucking Ace Frehley shows up, how pissed off are you that you went to the first one?
I don't know. I don't know because I'm not if I'm a fan of Kiss in general, I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, if I'm a fan of Kiss in general, I would just keep going. you know, but I'm really Tommy Sayre.
But you didn't answer my question. I just asked you a question. You decide something completely.
I would be pissed if Mace wasn't there yet.
So that's my point. So there's, in my opinion,
but that's just me though.
That's bad business, though. So it's the end of the road. Tommy Thayer played Love Gun last night on The Tonight Show. It was not Ace Frehley. We all kind of thought it would be. Ace got thin all of a sudden. He looks like he could fit in the spaceman suit tomorrow. He does. He looks great. He's playing great. He's singing great. But they appeared last night. So unless in the next 3 months something radically happens and he appears, if they start that tour with Tommy Thayer, I'm telling you, there's no Ace in Kiss. Maybe a guest, but not in Kiss.
I don't buy it because I know these guys. These are the ultimate showmen. They put on the greatest show on earth. Gosh, I've even tried to, you know, come on, man.
Don't go off the rails. Say what you're trying to say. You got a point. Make a point.
I'm saying they can have special guest appearances. For example, for all we know, it could be Tommy in the Creatures of the Elder Ace suit, and then Ace comes out and in the Dynasty with the cape. You know, for all we know. We don't know. I don't think Ace is going to play on stage with Tommy Thayer in his makeup at the same time. Now, what they should do, and I've always said this, I've always been steadfast about this, because they own the trademarks to the makeups, is that Tommy Thayer should use the banded makeup.
Now, you have to explain to everybody what that is. I know what it is, but explain to them what the banded makeup is.
Okay. In the original Kiss, when they first started out in the streets of New York City,
before record deals,
right, they were trying to be like the New York Dolls or you know street punk or whoever was going on at the time, and they just figured out that they were too big a guys to do that, so they went more with black and silver and so forth. You can find this in any Kiss. I think it's an Extreme Close Up. And Paul's original makeup, until Ace had suggested the black star over his eye, was a bandit makeup, like a bandit mask.
Like two upside down triangles, almost, right? Kinda.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of kind. No, it was more like sideways triangles.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But he they own that because they've released merchandise with like Dolls action figures would have it with Paul in that makeup, so they own it. The other one is for Eric Singer, which he has said in Kiss Extreme Close Up that he would rather be the Hawk because of his, you know, he joked like, "Oh, it's because of my nose," and blah blah blah. This is the blonde hair, Revenge era Eric Singer, and that was really initially supposed to be the makeup for Eric Carr, and like 2 days before, he just didn't fit his personality. So he dug deep in his personality and he became the Fox.
Now, can I interject? Can I interject, sir?
Sure.
In my opinion, you're right. Tommy Thayer should be the bandit, but they should put the other drummer in the Fox makeup and have like a little bit of like thing for, you know, like you said, Eric Carr. Like that's what I would do because it already exists as a character.
Right. As a tribute to, but still that he'd be doing the same thing. And I think that would, I respect your opinion. I still think he'd be doing the same thing because Eric Carr is loved too, just like the original Catman is. I mean, people love these guys.
Sure.
The Hawk was never used. And the ultimate thing you have to remember, I believe that Bruce Kulick and Bob Kulick are going to be involved.
Now, see, I don't know if I agree with you, but I want you to tell the listening audience exactly what you mean. Explain that to them, please. I want to hear it.
Well, Bruce Kulick, as you know, was a guitar player that was in Kiss in the 80s in a non-makeup year.
And he's the longest guitar player, technically, right?
No, I don't think so if you count both Ace's tenures.
Well, that's the thing. I'm you're right. If you count both tenures, no. But if we break them up for the longest line in a run.
Yes. And the thing, if I believe so, Tommy's been in there for a while himself.
Well, Tommy doesn't fucking count, man.
thank you. Tommy Thayer sucks, man. But, but he's been there to carry it on. If they put him in the bandit makeup, makes sense. He stole Ace's job. Get it? I mean, it makes sense. And plus, Paul.
Oh, my God. Did you say get it? Oh, my God. You're like, he's a bandit. He stole the job.
Yeah, you get it? But it's a cool makeup. It's a great makeup. What's wrong with that? I would be happy to be. I'd kill to be the band. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. I wear a mask myself, a real mask. But I'm saying, like, anyway, the long story short, I think Bruce Kulick coming out and playing with them, I guarantee you, you're going to see two. Like, you remember the Kiss Unplugged when they had the two drum sets?
Of course, yes, of course.
I guarantee you, at some point in this tour, you're going to see Ace Frehley, Peter Criss, Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, the real Kiss, Eric Singer, Tommy Thayer, Bruce Kulick, perhaps even Bob Kulick. They might design a makeup for that too, like a, you know, something that goes over his head or something like that. That'd be kind of cool.
That's weird, and, sir. That's weird.
It
go
is
ahead.
Weird. It is weird. But
no, is Vinny Vincent?
It could be a good weird. You know what I mean?
Is Vinny Vincent going to make a return for something?
That's the question, isn't it?
It is the question.
I think it, like, maybe, like, it'll be like a novelty thing. You know, maybe like. Like when they play Tennessee or something like that, maybe Vinny Vincent comes out and they do a couple songs from Lick It Up or something.
Now,
you know what I mean?
I have a question I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Guns N' Roses did a huge reunion thing in stadiums a couple years ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They had, randomly, they would show Steven Adler, he'd come out on a second drum kit and he would play a couple songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine a world where Ace Frehley just comes out as Ace Frehley, not as the Spaceman, and Tommy Thayer steps back, and they just do some classic Kiss tunes with him not in makeup? Is that a possibility in your opinion?
I don't think so.
Really?
No.
Why?
No. Because Ace is the Spaceman. Tommy Thayer is playing the Spaceman.
But what if, like, Ace doesn't want to put the shit on? Because it's not... He did say a few times that it's like, it's a nightmare. It's like 2 hours before the show, and it's like a thing, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These might be sporadic appearances in different towns. I mean, you think about booking a 3-year world tour. They're going to have something to, you know, and it's not like they're going to be putting out records, you know, during that time period. I mean, like, I've heard rumors there might be one, but 3 years, I mean, you know, in Philadelphia, it's Ace Frehley.
Now,
you know,
I want to ask you about the performance last night on the Tonight Show.
Honestly, I haven't. I've been working, and I working on something and a project, and I didn't catch it, man.
Oh, for real?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Well,
I have not seen it yet.
What I'm going to try and do.
I have no doubt in my mind Ace Frehley is going to be in that spacesuit sometime early next year. It all has to do with his E1 contract. And Kiss is probably, like, the thing is, they could just buy it out. Because let's be honest here, dude. If Ace walks in that place, the roof's going to blow. You know that. You know, I mean, I was at, you know, shows and seen that happen. I mean, like, even in the videos, it seems like, in the mixing, I mean, I don't think it was, like, on purpose or anything, but the people just love that guy. Whether he's a screw-up or he's on, you know, he's straight and narrow or whatever, there's just something about that guy people love. I don't know what it is, how to define it, but he's got it. You know, they all have it, all four. You know what I mean? Gene, too, and Paul, and, you know, these guys they're superheroes, man, literally. So, I think that this tour is obviously going. Even Paul has said that he's not ruling it out that other members would be there. Now, the way they do it, that's what matters the most. They have to do it right. You can't have Ace Frehley and Tom. People are going to throw tomatoes at Tommy Thayer if he's on stage. No, it's the truth. They practically do it anyway. You know what I mean? God, you know, God rest his father.
Now, Mr. Zero, stop off the rails. Don't need it. I want to play you the performance. I want you to listen. You want to listen for me?
Yeah, sure, buddy.
All right, buddy. Let's see if it works. It might not work. Let's listen. Okay, so this is a side edit. I totally pulled up the video on my computer, and it's on YouTube. So it's Kiss Love Gun performing on The Tonight Show. And then, of course, Johnny Zero couldn't hear it because listen to the bizarreness of this. the speakers on the computer were irrelevant because it was plugged into the Focusrite recording device. So I could hear the video very clearly through my headphones, and Johnny Zero could not hear it on his end. And I was like, all right, fuck it. We're going to wing it. So I paused it. I deleted what we tried to do, and I kept running tape, right? And I pulled up my cell phone. I was like, well, you're talking on my cell phone. I'm going to play the video simultaneously on YouTube while we're on the phone, right? And I did, and I could hear it. Like, I could hear it, and it was coming through the microphone. It was sounding clear, you know, the Kiss performance. Love, love, gun, right? Everything's happening. And then Johnny, who's on the phone, who I could hear, could not hear the performance or hear the music, which was upsetting. So I have hung up with Mr. Johnny Zero, and I sent him the video link, and he's watching it. So what I might do currently is I might pull it up myself and just watch the video on our end, and then we can critique it. So let's see what we have here. With this is from the Tonight Show from last night. Mischief Night, if you will. And here it comes. We're going to play Love Gun, right? A classic Kiss tune. Sounds good. Drums are right in the pocket. They're playing live. No lip syncing here. Which you're going to hear momentarily, that it's not lip sync. The voice, not so good. He's struggling. I'm a singer. So Paul Stanley, you know? Not exactly a kid. You hear that? He's straining. Now, the backup vocals are pretty fucking sharp, actually, and it sounds really good for Kiss. For real. But his lead is like, and I had a bout this summer as a vocalist of laryngitis. I went to the doctor, I got diagnosed. It was scary. I had a pool in my yard, and there's an 8-year-old who was living with me from that marriage, which is kind of disintegrating, right? But anyway, I had a stepson, and I put a pool together for him, and we cleaned it out, and it had set over the winter, and there was like fungus and green stuff in it. Algae, that's what it's called. So we're cleaning it, and I kind of got sick after I cleaned the pool before I refilled it for him for the summer, and I got laryngitis for real, straight up, and I couldn't hit my high notes, and it was really upsetting. I'd go to Starscream practice, and I was sucking, and we didn't have any shows lined up, which was great, thank God. We're still in the studio, but I couldn't sing or anything for quite a while. I'm talking like 2 months. Fuck me up. And I thought that Paul Stanley had it, because Gene Simmons had made a comment when he was in Australia doing the solo thing for that tour he did for The Vault. He was like, well, you don't lose your voice, you know, like Paul Stanley. And I'm listening to Paul Stanley right now, which was last night as we're recording this. And the performance is not that good vocally. It's like upsetting. So I guess this has become a Kiss episode. And we're going to reconnect with Johnny Zero momentarily. And we'll finish the discussion. Oh, here's the solo. You guys ready for that? This is going to piss off Johnny. Not bad, but I'll tell you, it's not Ace Frehley. Like, note for note, I know all the Guns N' Roses solos. Like, note for note, like off of Appetite and off the Illusions records. I'm not as well-versed in the Kiss universe for solos. That stuff wasn't my thing as a kid. And Tommy sounds good. He's not Ace Frehley. So here they are on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. I guess I like Jimmy Fallon. I don't know. He's likable. But man, when I was a little kid, Johnny Carson was God. He was the greatest thing ever for late night. And you see this and you're like, well, that's cute. But it's not the same. Da-da-da-da. Good stuff. There you go. And Fallon's like all over him. He's like, oh my God, you're so good. Oh my God. Watch. Or listen, I should say. The Roots. The Roots are the fucking live band. The Roots. 20 years ago, I'm in a studio in, what was it, South Philly? No, I guess Chinatown. That's where the studio was. And there's The Roots, like, in the next room. And they weren't even fucking famous yet. And The Roots have ascended to become the Tonight Show live band. And yeah, we're still here banging out podcasts. All right, so pause with me if you can. We'll be right back. I'm with Johnny Zero on the other end of the phone. And we're going to discuss that performance. Thank you, guys. And we're back, VexX, along with Mr. Johnny Zero for episode number 32. Yeah, the people's hero for episode number 32 with the Vex on Vex podcast. Now, John, I just listened to the video with the audience, I suppose, and I made my own little critiques. Yeah. What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, I wasn't really. The backing vocals sound great. Paul's voice is back. He sounds great.
I don't agree. I thought it sounded like he was straining. I'm going to be honest with you.
Guy's been doing it for 50 years, dude.
You know, no, but it's
much better than the Madrid show. You know, everybody has a bad night. I've had them, you've had them, we've all had them, right? But he sounds much better. The backing vocals, I thought were great. I thought they were great.
They are. I agree.
Tommy. Something about that solo, those little ding 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 during the verses. He just botched that clip. It was like, no, clip. I didn't get that. And that high bend on there. I mean, if you're gonna try and walk in Ace Frehley's shoes, I'm sorry. You're gonna have to be pretty. It takes a pretty big man. So I thought the solo. I go listen to a live two, and actually don't even listen to live two. Listen to reunion tour, 96. Any of the live first like to shows. I mean, there's something that's lacking there. I'm not saying he's not a great guitarist. I'm not saying he's technically great. I'm not saying that, but there's just something missing, man. Like sonically, I'm not talking. Now I looked. I also noticed. Did you notice the pauldrons that I wear pauldrons myself? You know, you drilled them in for me. But you know the silver pauldrons on Paul's outfit.
All right, listen. I don't know. I don't. Listen, John. John. I don't know what that word means. No one knows what that word means. You have to explain what you're saying.
A pauldron is the shoulder things that stick out, like on the costume, usually on the aces or you know what have you. If you notice, the ones Paul are wearing are silver, just like, you know, like, for example, the Ace Frehley Love Gun suit or the Dynasty suit. And it could be a teaser. You don't know what you're going to get on this thing. And I didn't like how that bend that Tommy's doing, it just, but something's not right. It's not the you know, he hits that note and that's how Ace does it, and he lets it ride out to feedback, so he's like, you know, riding the natural music of the air. And Tommy just doesn't do that, man. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad guy or a bad person or something, but it doesn't have the same magic without Ace. But I did think Paul's voice was good, and I thought Gene was excellent, and I thought Eric was pretty good too. But there's nothing stand out about it. You know, when I've seen that latest video of Figure Chris out there, and this is nothing against Eric Singer. I think he's great. I bought ESP, Eric Singer Project. You know what I mean? Like I supported him, so I can say this. Supported all those guys. You know, it just, there's nothing stand out about it. When Peter Criss hits that, I don't care if they have to use 1,000 drum triggers. There's something about that distinct playing, even to this day, right now, in the year 2018, that just would make the magic.
I totally disagree. Now, there's a swing to it. But that he doesn't have I'll be honest with you, I didn't like how Singer was hitting the snare. I thought that was a little light-handed, in my humble opinion. Like I've seen him hit harder.
Yeah, well, they got triggers for that now. I mean, like, who cares? I mean,
I care. I care. I'm a musician. This is important to me. If you're going to do it, do it.
So am I. I'm a performer. I'm an entertainer. I understand myself, you know. But what I'm saying is, there's nothing distinctive about his playing, man. I mean, when he plays in Kiss, he's somewhere between the Catman and like a little bit Eric Carr and a little bit. It's just middle of the road for me. And it's because he's playing a part. I know he's better than that, but it doesn't. Love Gun is a song, man. Dude, the guy's singing about his cock, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
No, like, but that's the thing. So how do you have some delusion that it's a song of, like, great artistic merit? It's literally about his cock. So it's not exactly, no, like, the deepest thing in the world.
It's more than just that. That's a joke. That's from that movie, Role Models.
And he didn't say cock, by the way. He said dick in Role Models. He's like, a guy singing about his dick.
I'm sorry. Pardon my language.
No, I mean, you can say cock. I'm not offended. You know what I mean?
I'm not offended either.
A big cock come out of your mouth, I can handle that. I'm just saying.
That's what rock and roll needs right now. Now, rock and roll, cock and balls, attitude, piss and vinegar. You know what I mean? Like, fucking, you know, oomph. And I get it. I'm getting it from Paul. Paul has taken offense, probably, to those two things about his voice. And that's where Gene said in the interview something about, Richie Scarlett. You got to remember, Gene is like Paul's big brother, and Peter is like Ace's big brother.
But that has not, I don't know what any of that means. Like, what's your point with any of that? Because no one's talking anything about Peter Criss.
What I'm saying is, rumors circulated on the internet that Paul's voice is done. Even Ace said it.
Bro,
like his voice is done.
Bro,
over. You even said that.
I just heard that performance. It's not good. He's straining, and it's one song. That's not good. If that's good, we're in trouble.
Yeah, but listen, he's if you listen to his phrasings, he's not, if he can stay away from that, you know, whatever, I can't even do that. That freaking, I probably could if I tried, but not on the telephone. But I wouldn't want to. He's energetic, man. That's just how he is. But if you notice some of the way, he wasn't overdoing it. He's learning how to phrase, and they're preparing for a tour. So he's learning how to do all that stuff.
All right, listen, right? I'm a singer. That's all I got. That guy is straining to hit that note. I can tell you definitively. Love, love, gone. He's straining.
Yeah.
He can't hit that. He can't hit it. Well, I just heard it.
Yeah, well, the harmony of the original four singing, even Ace, as quirky as his voice was, right? They had this harmony going there.
That doesn't make that doesn't mean anything.
I noticed the band has been working on.
But that doesn't mean anything. I'm talking about one guy, the lead singer of Kiss, who's about to go on a 3-year tour. I just watched him perform. He played last night. I'm telling you, it's not good. That wasn't a good vocal performance. It was all right. It was strained. What are the opening lyrics?
Love Gun. I really love you, baby.
I really love you, baby. Like, he can't even hit that. It was like, you know what I mean? It wasn't happening.
I thought it was okay, man.
No, and that's the thing. You're right. The word okay is definitely the word. It's not fucking Kiss. For real.
No, dude, you guys are pushing 70, man. I mean, you got to give him, cut him a little slack. My God.
Well, I can be honest, though. So, there's a gentleman.
Yeah, of course. I didn't ever ask you to be honest.
Like,
to be honest,
Sammy Hagar.
I didn't have any problem with it.
Sammy Hagar is the same age, and he can still hit all his notes.
Yes, he can.
So, it can be done.
I didn't hear Paul miss a note except for that one high thing. That,
so you,
that
so,
really high
so
one
you,
he does.
You heard that, too, though. You did hear it.
That one part, yes.
And so,
but that's just, he's just talking, he's just doing crowd rants, and, you know, that's just getting the crowd into it. Otherwise, I thought it was an excellent vocal performance from Paul Stanley.
We very simply disagree. In my opinion, it was a strained vocal. It was just strained. That's all it is.
Well, Vex, listen, you know, if I had a problem with it, I would say something about it. I'm not saying it was his best ever, but it's certainly better than it was a couple months ago.
If you can't come out, if you,
oh my God.
Okay, let me speak. If you can't, just gonna talk over me. If you can't come out and do one song and kill it, there's no way that for 2 hours you're gonna be good. You're gonna be okay for 2 hours. You just cough into the phone. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I had a long night.
You're like, oh, Vex is talking. Okay, that's fine. I get it.
No, man, I gotta. That's why I didn't want to sing on the thing, because I've got congested. I get kind of a cold.
None of which matters. The point is, my brother, is that I'm telling you that Paul Stanley is straining on that one song. And in my humble opinion, if you're doing a 2-hour show, you're in trouble. Now, definitively, I'm also feeling like they're starting this tour and there is no ace in sight. I feel like there's no ace really.
I think that's going to be, my personal prediction is that those are going to be the, what you call Easter eggs. They're going to be surprise stuff. I wouldn't even be surprised. They have good connections with, New Year's Rock. They still do New Year's Rock and Eve, right? Even though, God rest his soul, Dick Clark. Great. The Dick Vermeil of rock and roll.
You know, Dick Clark isn't exactly the best person either. And I used to think he was pretty great. He's a little fucked up too, but we'll discuss that another time. So, yes.
No. Don't ever say anything bad about Dick Clark. I love Dick Clark.
Well, I can have an opinion, so don't tell me not to do something. That's not right.
I don't want to know. He's like an uncle I never had or something.
But he definitely had some shifty business dealings himself.
He did what?
He had some shifty business dealings himself.
All right, don't ruin my image. Oh, my God, I don't even think about that.
Well, I didn't say it. I'm just telling you. It's a possibility. So, yeah, they might play the New Year's Rockin' Eve, which I think is hosted by Ryan Seacrest now, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, great. just what we needed. Ryan Seacrest, that's rock and roll, man.
Well, I mean, you know, Dick Clark's not exactly rock and roll either. He was like 70 or 80 years old at the time. He's not like, woo! Like, when he broke Bon Jovi on his show, he wasn't exactly young then in the 80s. That was 30 years ago.
I love Dick Clark. Why are you fucking with me on Dick Clark, man?
Hey, man, the facts are the facts, brother. I didn't make history. This is some shit that went down.
Dick Vermeil of rock and roll, man.
I like Dick Vermeil a lot more than I like Dick Clark, I gotta tell you.
Well, I like them both. They're just the same thing in different fields to me.
And for the people listening...
Dick Vermeil's my favorite coach ever.
Well, I'm trying to explain that.
Other than Coach Stevenson.
But you're cutting me off, so it doesn't matter. But for the people listening...
Come on, chill, man. I'm sorry.
But for the people listening, Dick Vermeil took the Eagles to their first Super Bowl ever in, I believe, the season of 1980. And he was our short-lived coach for a couple of years, and then he got burned out and he left coaching. And he came back later. The Eagles mistakenly did not hire him, and he won a Super Bowl, I might add, after returning.
And almost won a second one.
Yes, sir.
Went to two. And they said he was washed up, he was done, he was... You know, this, that. But the thing is, when he left the Eagles, he became a college football analyst. So he already had the heads up on who's going to be, you know, the good players. And you know, when you hire a guy like Dick Vermeil, you got to give him complete control. Because look at the coaches, look at the head coaches that came from being under him. Even, you know, I hate Mike Martz. I think Mike Martz was his Judas or his what do you call it? The guy killed Caesar. What's it? A2 Brute? A2 Brute?
We're going to change this because no one has any idea what you're talking about. No. We're going to change the subject on the Vex on Vex podcast because no one knows what you're talking about. So we're going to shift it. Okay. We're going to go back to Kiss.
Okay. History.
No, anyway, it's football history. That's not world history. No one cares.
All right. Well, whatever. My point is that they extended the set list to 25 something.
So that's official? You heard that definitively? It's 25? I didn't hear that.
Yes. It's everywhere. Look it up. Seriously.
I believe you. I just asked a question. Go ahead.
They're doing 25 songs. And look, let's be honest. Kiss has always been about pushing the limits of what you can do and who you can be. I've always loved that. That was, you know, inspired me. So what I'm saying is that means that there's probably going to be other lead singers, you know.
No way. I do not sign off on that theory.
Coming, I'm telling you, Ace Frehley is coming back to the spaceman suit at some point. Wait till this E1 thing is done. Why he would release such a great album and get rid of Richie and Scotty. And look, let's be honest, Chris Wise, great guy probably.
No one knows who these people are, John. No one has any idea what you're saying, so you have to explain.
That's the Ace Frehley solo band. For those of you who don't know, Ace Frehley just released an album called Spaceman last Friday, and fired his band, or released them, and got the Gene Simmons band. I thought we covered that earlier.
No, but they don't. And you're saying names like they know who they are. They don't know who Scotty Coogan is. No one gets. No, but you have to tell them. That's the point. If you're going to say
Scotty
something,
he's known best for playing with Ace Frehley. He was a Bride of Destruction. which he played that song, which was
no, but that's it though. Like, what else has he done? That's it, right?
He's done some other things I don't have in front of me.
And the thing of it is, the Brides of Destruction weren't a thing. It was Nikki Sixx's side band, and as soon as Nikki left, they dropped like a stone. They kept going, but they didn't do anything after Nikki left.
Right, right. But for a talent like that, it's just, oh my God, I'd love to play with him.
So Nikki Sixx, so Nikki Sixx puts out Brides of Destruction, and then the guy who reunited the Eagles, who was the original Eagles manager, whose name is Azoff? Azoff? Irving Azoff, that's it. He his company reached out and they put back Motley Crue together around 2004, like the winter or the fall, and then in the summer the Brides had come out. So Nikki Sixx had a tour, he had a record, it was happening, and they were like, "Well, if you get Motley Crue back together, you'll make $100 million." And he was like, "Oh, I guess I'm going to do that then." And he left that band high and dry, kind of. And it was L.A. Guns guy. What's his name?
Which one?
Tracy Guns. His name's Tracy Guns.
Yeah, I know. I just, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Like, I just said it.
Know you're talking
about. I just said it. Tracy Guns. I just said it three
Tracy
times.
Guns.
So Tracy Guns was the guitar. Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm just asking. Wasn't there two LA Guns at the same time?
Well, I would get to there, but you cut me off. So can you just let me talk for a moment on my show, maybe? That'd be so.
Go ahead, man.
Okay, thank you. Well, no, you just keep and you keep talking. So when you're done, I'll interject. Go ahead.
Oh my God, I'm just laughing. I'm listening. Go ahead.
All right, but if you talk over me, it doesn't work. That's a problem with the mics. You understand. So, we had Tracy Guns, who's the founding member. Ironically, almost, he was in Guns N' Roses, too, at one time. So, he's the founding member of L.A. Guns. He leaves L.A. Guns, and he goes to be in Brides of Destruction. And Brides of Destruction has a huge record come out, and it does really well for a minute, at a time when people weren't really buying records. Well, Brides of Destruction disintegrates and falls apart. So then, this is funny. Listen to this shit. You're going to like this. So then Tracy Guns comes back out with his own LA Guns, even though legally he signed the name back over to the previous people. And I opened up with Starscream for Tracy Guns' version of LA Guns in 2005.
Awesome, man.
In Virginia somewhere. So at any rate, that band starts touring, and then Phil, the original singer of LA Guns, rejoins the other LA Guns, and then there's like a huge fucking thing. I think as of today, Halloween 2018, when we're recording this, they are back together. Phil and Tracy are back, and there's one LA Guns, and everybody's happy.
Okay, cool. I saw them in Baltimore Rock City, I love Baltimore, in they opened, and a member of original member of Nation Zero was opened for them, and it was the guy I don't remember, the guy with the black hair, and they were, you know, I talked to him a little, met him and stuff like that.
Dude, they all have black hair, every single one of them. So go ahead.
Well, the guy that sings Ballad of Jane.
Yeah, about Phil Lewis. I just said his name, Phil Lewis.
Yeah. And there was some kind of crap going on, and so that your story, I concur. So I concur in space, my friend.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Now can we get back to Kiss?
Go ahead, brother.
All right. Well, I think if you look at Paul Stanley's, they have new costumes. I'm not a big fan of this Tommy Thayer the new suit. It looks like a combination of it's Dynasty and Destroyer, if you look at it closely, without the sans cape. And I just didn't, he's playing that guitar, and it's just, man, it's just, it doesn't have the same tone, it doesn't have the same, you know, and they didn't do that extra round of the, you know, that riff. And that's what makes it. My favorite version, studio-wise, of Love Gun is on Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits, which otherwise is a thing. The I Love It Loud is really weak on it, because it's like, instead of boom, boom, bah, boom, boom, bah, you know, when Eric was playing, it's like, you know, like Cannon. Sounds like the same sound as, Nirvana, Nevermind. But, man, it just went like, but the one good thing is they fade Paul's voice out during the solo, so you can hear the other part of it, and that's the best version in my opinion.
But that's still Eric Carr's on that record on Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits.
Yes, but they compressed and changed the sound, and it just sounded poppy and weird and stupid. But the Love Gun on there is great, you know, and it has the in my opinion. the worst Kiss song of all time, which is let's see here. You make me rock hard, baby, all night. It's terrible, and it got a video too. The worst Kiss single, anyway. And but you know, it's whatever. People,
I think that
underestimate
that hero shit from the Elder might be worse, to be honest with you. But okay.
No, I you know, because let me explain the Elder for a minute. The Elder was the worst possible record they could have made at the time. You're opening the door for the European, the new wave of European metal, which I like some of those bands too. But if they had come out with the other record they were supposed to come out with and save the Elder for later, the entire musical landscape of hard rock and roll, punk rock, metal, whatever you want to call it, in America, in the world, would have been a different, entirely different landscape.
Bullshit. No.
Yeah.
Kiss was irrelevant. They were dead at the time. They didn't exist. They were invisible.
You know, those that record brings them back. I'm telling you, and it has been released over time. It one of them's on Gene Simmons' Vault. One of them's on the New Ace Frehley record. One of them's on a couple of them on the Wendy O. Williams record. One's on the Kiss box set. There's slow. One of them's on a version of it. It's on Asylum. Love's a Deadly Weapon, which comes back to Deadly Weapons, which is an Elder demo, which is the first time Eric Carr ever recorded with the band. This is when they were recording at Ace in the Hole Studios before Bob Ezrin showed up. And I can't remember the guy's name. The other guy got dropped like a fly. Ezrin said, you know, Ezrin was all cooked up at the time. God bless him. I'm sure he got better, and he's been humble about it since then. He admits, you know, whatever. But then they took him up to Canada. He stayed in Connecticut because his doggy, which I'm an animal lover, so I can understand the heartbreak. My dog and I had 50 people show up.
You won't even tell the story. That's awful. His doggy, and then you have to tell a story about your cat. No, but you have to.
Long-winded.
No, don't be long-winded. Tell me the story.
So they go to Canada. Buddy, listen, they go to Canada, and they send tapes back and forth.
But you didn't even say the dog. Bro, you didn't even say the dog died. Like, we're on a podcast right now talking.
Yeah, I understand that.
Well, they don't even know what you're talking about.
Listen, relax. All right, look. He let the dog out back in his yard, right? So they could go inside his house and play and blah, blah, blah. The dog started scratching his way under the fence and got his head caught under there, man. So
I know I don't care. I just know I don't care.
Well,
I even like dogs.
The
guy was a drug addict motherfucker at the time, and he will tell you himself because I have the book and I can go get the book and read it to you. At that time, he doesn't even remember. He doesn't even remember recording at that time. So then, come on. He did not go to Canada because of the dog. He went to Canada because you can't smuggle drugs into Canada, which is a fact, by the way. And the drugs they have there kind of suck because he couldn't get anything over there. So, that's why he didn't go to Canada.
You think that the reason Ace Frehley didn't go to Canada with them is because he couldn't smuggle drugs in?
Yes! Yes! Definitely.
No, that's not true, man. Sorry.
Except you don't know, number one. So you can't tell me. No, you don't. You don't know anything because it was the fucking
70s. I've heard the demos. I can hear. I've heard Don't Run.
It doesn't matter.
Ended up being Dark Light.
I can't believe we're having this discussion. It doesn't matter. You weren't there. Your opinion and my opinion are different. You think the guy didn't go because a dog died. Okay. I know he didn't go because he's a fucking drug addict.
I didn't say that, buddy. I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
I know you didn't, actually. That's the problem. You wouldn't get to the point.
I didn't say that. Yes, he had substance abuse issues at the time. But with that is also he had an artistical a difference of direction to go in that, you know, Kiss just did. Four solo albums, okay? You do one great underrated rock and roll album, Dynasty, but the singles are disco, so now everybody thinks Kiss sold out and they went disco, and when the rest of the record is freaking phenomenal.
Doesn't Unmasked come out before The Elder?
Yes.
And that's
there.
After the solos. No, come on, you're saying something doesn't make sense. That's,
yes, so Unmasked comes out after Dynasty. There's solo albums, Dynasty, Unmasked. Now, Unmasked,
so no, stop, John. Your timeline was wrong, which is why I'm correcting you. That's the only reason I brought it up. You were like, no, let me talk. Let me talk, and then you can talk. Let me talk. Please let me talk.
You said, and I quote, well, the solo records had just come out. Bullshit. That did not happen. It was the solo records. Then it was Unmasked, which fucking sucks, by the way. And then they were making The Elder. That's the time frame in question. So you were inaccurate in what you were saying.
Dex, I wasn't. I was certain I wasn't wrong. The solo, during that period, the solo records had just come out. September 19th, 1978. Okay? Then comes Dynasty in 1979. Then in 1980, I believe January 1st, but I don't have it in front of me, that's Unmasked.
Which now, is before...
they played the last show in Auckland, New Zealand, they come back home and they go to Ace's place to make the album that would have been instead of the album. Now, during those sessions, there was another guy producing it, and I just can't remember his name.
That's okay.
Bob Ezrin shows up, takes Gene, Paul, and Eric out to Canada. Ace stays home and records in his studio, his underground studio, Ace in the Hole studio, and sends tapes back and forth. The song that was supposed to be on the album that would have been instead of The Elder was called Don't Run, and you can tell he's inebriated singing it. But it ended up being a great song, and that's the storyline. That is the actual... I'm not trying to be a dick or nothing, buddy. I love you, man. I'm just saying that you're my brother, but I'm saying it goes solo albums, Dynasty, Unmasked, then The Elder. Then you get Killers, then you get Creatures of the Night. So pieces of what would have been that record show up in all different places, Nowhere to Run. Arguably Paul's greatest vocal performance by a lot of people, one of them anyway, was Nowhere to Run, which was one of the extra songs on Killers, which, if you remember, that's the one where they put K-I-S-S, with, you know, the lightning bolts that Ace designed. They make them Z's because it was more promoted in Europe. And there is a version with Ace playing the guitar. The one that comes out has Bob Kulick, if I'm not mistaken. And if they come out with that record, I think things would have been different. I don't think Ace leaves. Perhaps the makeup doesn't come off. You don't know. It's Kiss. It's one of the greatest American success stories of all time. Who would think a couple goofballs painting themselves up and wearing crazy shoes would have made it in the first place? Of course, if anybody's going to fucking do it, it's them. I think they're going to do some crazy stuff on this tour, bringing it back to End of the Road.
And we just disagree. I think if Ace was going to happen, it would have happened. I think last night was a perfect platform to say, okay, we're back. Here's fucking Ace Frehley. Because it's the Tonight Show. It's a big deal. It was in New York. It could have been really cool. And there is no Ace Frehley.
Good point. Fair enough. And you may be right, my friend. And a lot of times you are. I'm not arguing with doing that. But you got to remember, Ace still is under contract by E1 Entertainment. So that's why he's not touring for Spaceman. He's going right back and working on Origins Volume 2.
Can I ask a dumb question? Can I ask a dumb question for real?
Sure, buddy.
Because I didn't know this, so I want you to help me, and I'm not kidding. I want to understand
it. Sure, anything, man.
Why would he fire his band if he's not going to tour for Spaceman? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Because he's getting back into space. Because he's finishing out. He's keeping his word with E1 Entertainment, and he knows he's going to be back in that spacesuit. That's a 3-year tour. It might not be January 1st, 2019 or whatever. It might be, you know, in the middle of the year or something.
But I'm telling you, that's a ripoff. Because if you do that, if you go out with Tommy Thayer, and I catch Tommy Thayer because I happen to live where I live, and they play there in February, right?
Right.
And that summer, they come out with Ace Frehley, I'm going to fucking lose my fucking mind. Like, it would make me crazy.
And I agree. But you know what you might get on that show?
What?
You might get a couple encores with guess who? Catman.
But I'm telling you, no one's wearing makeup. If the Catman shows up, he's not wearing makeup. I'm telling you right now.
Okay. I don't know. But I mean, maybe, who knows? Maybe Eric Singer, you know, takes the night off at that point. You know, they do nothing to lose, and Beth and
but here's the thing.
Black Diamond. You know?
Obviously, neither one of us know. That's the real issue. We don't know shit. We're just like theorizing. I just
you know what Peter's favorite Kiss song is?
Black Diamond.
No, Strutter.
Oh, I thought it was Hard Luck Woman. Actually, I'm a liar. I meant to say Hard Luck Woman.
No, it's Strutter, man.
Strutter's a great song.
Yeah. The way Peter plays it. But yeah. Now, which version of the Strutter, do you have Double Platinum? That'd be a good one for you to get, by the way.
I don't have Double Platinum.
It's the greatest hits, but they have a few that they remixed and redid and stuff like that. Strutter 78 is, the guitar solo is just, man, it's blistering, dude. And Paul's voice is great, and the beat is different, and that is Peter Criss. It's dancey, it's more groovy, I hate to, I guess it might be, I don't want to use the word blasphemous because I believe in the Lord, but I'm saying, like, to Kiss fans, it might, you know, because, you know, the original Kiss album is, you know, Kiss self-titled, but it's better, dude. It is better. Oh, my God, is it good. I highly, highly recommend. Maybe you might find that in your stick your Christmas stock. Because, you know, I'm such a big spender, you know?
So, Eddie Trunk was saying, you know, about a month ago, that they had been going around this version of Kiss, and they're doing all this press, and they're talking up, hey, 3-year tour, end of the road, blah, blah, blah. And Eddie Trunk said something very smart that I shared with you. He had said they have revealed no dates. They're just saying they're going on tour, but they haven't given us one date, right? And then as of last night, there's a lot of dates that are up and a lot of dates that are available.
What is the first date?
I don't know. I sent you the video. I kind of thought you would go like balls deep into researching it.
I kept rewinding to hear different parts. I wanted to hear it once with Gene, and I wanted to hear, he was great. I wanted to analyze Paul's vocals. I wanted to analyze Tommy's guitar playing. I wanted to analyze Eric's and the singing. I did like the harmonies. They're singing well together. The stuff they used to joke about it with the original four. They said, well, the four tenors, you know, or whatever.
Sure.
They had that, you know, because Ace has that quirky voice. But gotta be honest with you, man, Ace is singing better now than he's ever sung. I mean, like he could. I mean, my God, his voice is good. But he has that quirky voice, that heavy Bronx accent, and everything like that. But what a voice, man! And if you're doing 25 songs, that gives Paul a rest. You know, Paul needs to just go stop overdoing it. That's all. If he goes back to being like the 70s Paul, I didn't have any problem with his performance last night. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. I'm not talking bad on him or anything like that. He's one of my heroes, you know? I don't say that enough. But I just kind of feel like 25 songs means there's going to be, you know, this town is Peter Criss special, you know, appearance. This town might be Ace Frehley special appearance. This town might be Benny Vincent, probably. You know? This town might be the Kulik brothers.
But that is not Kiss. That is not Ace Frehley. That is not exactly what you said. This is just two members of Kiss with the other guys, and then sometimes a guest coming in. That is not Ace Frehley coming out as the spaceman.
I'm just giving you I know that. That's not what I said. I'm saying this is a second theory. All these things are theories, man.
You're right. You're right. You're definitely right with that. We don't know shit. I agree.
I'm not saying that, like, you know, but I, in my heart, really believe that the reason, like who puts out an album that is as strong as Spaceman is, and lets go of their band, and is already talking about going in the studio the week of the release to do another one. Unless they're trying to keep their word with E1, because Ace is not a...
I really think they're touring with this record. I don't know if you're correct in that assessment. I think there's like Ace Frehley solo days.
I'm not saying there won't be a show or two, but I'm saying it's not going to be like it was on Anomaly or Space Invader, which was great. I don't, the internet can suck my dick. I could care less. I mean, like, I don't even understand why Anomaly is phenomenal.
Why does the internet want to suck your dick? You didn't even say it. You just thought it, but you didn't say it.
Well, because everybody on there, man, they're saying you're right. I shouldn't have said that.
But what did they say?
Because their opinion didn't meet mine. That's all.
No, but what did they say? You're not saying what the opinion was.
They think Anomaly is the weakest of his new records.
Which is fine, but I need you to stop. You just got to get to points. All right, listen, we're running out of time, so I'm going to disconnect with you. I'm going to do my sign off.
Come on, this is getting good. Come on, let's go. No,
we're 59 minutes in. You're making me crazy. You're going off the rails, and I'm like,
well, let's do it. Let's do a two-parter then. Come on, let's go.
I don't know, man.
Come on, man.
You're not
good shit. I know what I'm talking about here.
No one's questioning that.
25 songs to move your set list up 25 songs and 3-year world tour. This is not a 1-year world tour here. Not even the reunion tour was three years. All right? And at the age and everything else, you can't tell me that if they want to pack arenas, that they're not having the original members in there at some point. And I guarantee you this, when they finish it up, I'm sure they're going to keep their word. It's going to be at Yankee Stadium, and you'll probably see the original four Kiss members with the other guys there too, singing Rock and Roll Night, blowing that sky up.
With that, we're going to end it. So I'm going to let you go. I'm going to do a sign off. So thank you for being on the show, Johnny Zero.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right.
See you.
See ya. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Johnny Zero, and I'm VexX, and that was episode number 32 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you got through it. I hope that, you know, even if you're not a Kiss fan, you didn't mind listening to us banter and bicker back and forth. I love him dearly. He loves me dearly, but we freaking frack a bit, and he doesn't listen, and that's okay. Neither do I, so we fucking definitely make sense together, and we fit together. So this is Vex on Vex. Thank you for listening. I want to say a few things definitively, if you can bear with me. This is the second episode I'm using the music of Eric Clapton, the Cream of Clapton, Derek and the Dominoes, Bell Bottom Blues. I fucking adore this song. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We're rapidly coming up on a year for the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast, and this is only episode number 32 of Vex on Vex, but we're going to do more. Try to do weekly if we can. We're available on the Podbean application on your phone, but if you just Google Vex on Vex Podcast, it comes up everywhere that you can listen. iTunes, everything. We're under the Loud and Loaded Network. Supported by Michael Belinsky, the manager of Starscream, and frontman and artist of a band called Pagan. We love you. Thanks for listening. This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.